We are doing Pirkei de Rabbi Eliezer, and we're up to the 37th chapter. And the Medrash is generally going in the order of the Torah. So we had learned about Yaakov and his dream. We learned the Medrash about the ladder and the angels and what they correspond to. And we learned the Medrash about Yaakov coming to Lavan, and last time we learned about Yaakov by the well and Yaakov contending with Lavan and Lavan's chase after Yaakov. And now we're holding by Yaakov. He's finished with Lavan. He's left Lavan behind. And he's up to facing up to Esau. And that night he's going to meet up with the angel. So the Medrash is going to align Yaakov's journey with the famous pasuk in the Navi Amos, in which the Navi describes how a person is running from the lion and he meets the bear. And the Navi describes how a person goes from one danger to another danger. So that's Yaakov Avinu. Yaakov Avinu, the Medrash says, the Medrash begins with a quote from the verse in Amos, "Kasher yanus ish mipinei ha'ari ufga'o adov," just as a person runs from the lion only to meet up with a bear. So the Medrash says, "Ha'ari ze Lavan." That lion is a reference to Lavan. Sheradaf achei Yaakov lachtof nafsho. He chased after Yaakov. He wanted to kill Yaakov, but the children, the daughters, the grandchildren, he wasn't interested in wiping them out. He was just interested in taking down Yaakov. Yaakov finished with Lavan. God appeared to Lavan in a dream and told him, "Don't touch Yaakov." Lavan respected that. He didn't harm Yaakov. And then Yaakov meets up with the bear. Hadov ze Esav, the bear. That's a reference to Esav. Shamad al haderech kedov shakul. He stood by the path like a bear that's lost its child. That bear is coming just to take revenge. Balamit em al banim. Esav was coming with the intent to kill mother, children, women, child. He didn't care. Esav was interested in just taking revenge.
Hala.
Yeah.
Not in your home. You left a message that in your home.
Where did I? When did I leave?
Sorry, I was here.
Va'ari yesh lo boshet panim. The lion, he has some shame. Va'dov en lo boshet panim. But the bear has no shame. So the lion is representing Lavan. God could talk to Lavan and tell him, "Don't touch Yaakov," and Lavan listens. Why didn't God do that with Esav? Esav was coming to meet up with Yaakov. God doesn't show up to Esav in a dream. We're going to see what God does do. But bottom line, why is the treatment different? Because Esav has chutzpah. And Esav's coming out of enmity that's lasted over 20 years. Like the Navi says, "Ve'evrato shemara netzach." He's maintained his hatred for eternity. So Esav is coming. He's still fresh, like it was yesterday that Yaakov stole his blessings, like a bear that lost his child, and it's coming just to take revenge. Amad Yaakov v'aya mitpalel lifnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Yaakov stood and he was praying before Hashem. V'amar, and Yaakov said, "Ribono shel olam, Master of the world, lo chach amarta li, didn't you tell me, return to the land of your fathers, return to your birthplace, and I will be with you?" Notice the word Eheye, the word of the Geula of Am Yisrael. And behold, Esav, my brother, he's coming now to kill me, and he's not scared of you. And I'm scared of him. Mikan amru, from here our sages taught, "Al titiyare mipenei ish shoter u'moshel." Don't be scared of a person who's a policeman or a person who's the ruler. "Ela mipenei adam shein bo yirat shamayim." Be scared of a person who does not have the fear of heaven. And my grandfather used to say this, my great-grandfather, and I thought it was a Hasidish saying. There's a story that goes in the family that my great-grandfather, or my great-great-grandfather, was once traveling to do business with a wagon driver. And when they went by a church, he didn't stop to pray. He didn't stop to show his respect. And my great-great-grandfather saw that and he said, "Ooh, you know what? We were on our way to the fair to do business, and I forgot my wallet at home. I won't be able to go to the fair." And he turned around and went back home. He was scared the guy, he said, if he doesn't respect the church, he has no fear of any authority, so then I'm scared to be with him with my money. So he told the guy, you know, I forgot my wallet at home. I won't be able to buy anything. Let's go home. I'll pay you, and we'll have to call it a day for today. I can't go to the fair. They were going to some business fair. So now I see, when I learned this medrash, I saw that this is where my great-great-grandfather got it from. The medrash says, you don't have to be scared of a policeman or a ruler. Lev sarim emlachim biyad Hashem. The rulers, Hashem holds them tight. Even though they have b'chira chofshit, at the same time, al kol asher yachfotz liyatenu, Shlomo HaMelech says, God tilts their heart this way and that way. So you're standing opposite a cop, you're standing opposite the prime minister, whatever it is, that's a situation where Hashem says, I'm running the show behind the scenes. But if you have a person who has no yirat shamayim, so they have, over there, there's an aspect where Hashem lets them run wild. That's part of our b'chira. V'amadlo al haderech kedov shakul amitem al banim. And Esav stood by the path like a bear that's lost a child to kill mothers and children. Me'asa kadosh baruch hu. So what did God do? Shalach lo malach la'atzilo u'lehoshiyo miyad Esav. God sent an angel on behalf Yaakov to save him, to rescue him from the hands of Esav. Because Yaakov needed a double rescue. Meaning, Yaakov meets up with Esav, and Esav has that fleeting moment of love for Yaakov, and he leaves. Did you ever wonder, why didn't Esav come back to kill him? We say his hatred, still this day, goes back to Yaakov stealing the blessings. So why didn't he make an about face and kill him? We say that Esav even had a thought to kill him after his father died, after Yitzchak died. So why didn't it ever happen? So part of what the Midrash is coming to answer is why really Yaakov was saved for eternity. Lehatzilo ulehoshio. To rescue him from the imminent danger and to save him from the future danger from the hands of Esav. V'nir'a lo ki'ish. And that angel that came to save him appeared in corporal form. He seemed humanly. Shenemah, the verse says, Vayavek ish imo, a man fought with him adalot hashachar. And the Midrash is giving us an exceptional understanding. Other Midrashim don't learn this way. The Pirkei Rabbi Elazar learns that the angel that came was an angel that was sent to help Yaakov. It was an angel of Rachamim. And we're going to see later on in the Midrash that this angel was named Yisrael. That was the angel's name. It was our angel that was coming. It was a favor to Yaakov that Hashem sent that angel. That was how Yaakov would be rescued. With that angel, he would be rescued from Esau.
This is talking about the one that fought them.
Correct. So why were they fighting? Also, this Midrash isn't learning that way. This Midrash is learning that Yavek Ishimo, who's the man that fought with him? The angel of Yisrael came. This wasn't the angel of Esau. That's what the Pirkei Rabbi Elazar is learning. Yeah.
So there are other Midrashim that was Esau's angel.
That's what it seems, yeah.
And why this midrash says Israel and why others say Esav?
So, that goes to a general question of how midrashim understand things differently. Where does that come from? I could answer you in 1 minute or I could answer you in a few minutes. If it's going to be a few minutes, let's leave it for after we finish the midrash and we'll do it with questions and answers. Just I'll try to give you a more complete answer, okay? V'kevan she'ala amud ha'shachar. So we're holding 72 minutes before sunrise when the day really begins. Amar lo ha'malach shalecheini. The angel says to him, send me off. She'egia et amidati l'sharet ul'zamer lifnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The time has come for me to stand and serve and sing before Hashem. V'lo ratza Yaakov l'shalecho. Yaakov didn't want to send him. Me'asa ha'malach. So what did the angel do? So the angel started singing from earth. When the angels in heaven heard the angel singing from earth, Amru, they said, "Bishvil kvod tzadik, anu shomeim et kol hamalach min haaretz." Out of the honor of the tzaddik, we hear the voice of the angel from earth. Alav ha-katuv omer, about Yaakov, about that moment, the verse says, "Mikenaf haaretz, from the edge of the earth." Zemirot Shamanu, we heard song. Sevila Tzadik, what honor it is to the Tzadik that he brought the angel down. The angel couldn't go up to Shamayim where he was supposed to sing his song, but rather he sang it down from earth. Vodamalo Amalach Shalachini. So the angel said, send me off. Amalo Yaakov Enim Shalechacha Ad Shetivarcheini. Yaakov said, I'm not sending you till you bless me. Shenemar, Lo Shalechacha Keim Berechtani. I'm not sending you till you bless me. Uverechon, he did bless him. Shenemar, Vaivarch Oto Sham, as the verse says, he blessed him there. Vodamalo Shalachini. And furthermore, he said, send me off. Amalo Yaakov said, Enim Shalecha Ad Shetomali Mashemecha. I'm not sending you off till you tell me your name. Vekarashmo Yisrael Kishmo. And the angel said, my name goes on what my job is. My job is to call you Yisrael. That's what I was sent here for. To give you this extra strength that you'll gain the name Yisrael, which is a name of strength. So that's my name at this point. Shenikashmo Yisrael. The angel's name was Yisrael. Ratza Yaakov litgaber im ha-malach v'ipilo la'aretz. Yaakov wanted to overcome the angel and he threw him to the earth. Yaakov thought this was an angel that was coming to harm him. So Yaakov is grappling with the angel. He throws him down. Me'asa malach, what did the angel do? He sees that Yaakov is about to overtake him, and Yaakov thinks that he's a danger to him. Achaz begidna nashesh al kaf hayarech. He grabbed Yaakov's thigh, and in essence, he grabbed that sinu which controls the thigh. V'nasha gidna nashesh elov nasa kechelev amit. And the gidna nashe jumped out of place, and it became like some dead fat. Lefichach asur livnei Yisrael lechol gidna nashesh al kaf hayarech. That's why the Jewish people were prohibited from eating the Gid Anoshe. This wasn't a prohibition really for the children of Yaakov, but rather this was a commandment at Sinai. When the Torah was given, the Torah recounted the story, and the Torah explained within the story in Bereishis why it is prohibited for us to eat the Gid Anoshe. Shenemar, as the Pasuk says, Al ken lo yochelu v'nei Yisrael et Gid Anoshe asher akaf ha'erech. The Pasuk over there says right away, that's why the Jewish people, B'nai Yisrael, doesn't say B'nai Yaakov, that's why the Jewish people don't eat the Gid Anoshe that is by the thigh. Right? We don't eat the Gid Anoshe. It's one of the things we do with kosher meat. We remove the Gid Anoshe. Vatza Yaakov lavot mavar Yabok ulitakev sham. Yaakov wanted to cross the crossing of Yabok to wait it out there. Amar lo amalach, lo chach amarta li aser asrenu lach. The angel told him, what you running off for? Didn't you tell me you're going to give a tithe? You're going to take a tenth and give it to God? Ma'asa Yaakov, what did Yaakov do? Lakach et kol mikne kinyano shevim padan aram. He took his cattle that he had brought from Lavan. Vayu 5,500 tzon. He had 5,500 sheep. And he took off a tithe. He took 550 sheep and he sent them to Esav. So how does he fulfill his obligation by sending the 550 sheep to Esav? He didn't. But the angel was explaining to him, why are you stuck in a situation that you have to send a gift of 550 sheep? Because you've detained your promise. You made a promise, you were supposed to give your tithe, you were supposed to give a miser. So you better rush and give that tithe, because the reason you're in a situation where you have to send this gift to Esav is because you've been delaying your tzedakah. And furthermore, the angel said to Yaakov, it's not enough that you give me a tithe of your sheep. You have children. What about giving me a tenth of your kids? Ma'asa Yaakov, what did Yaakov do? Yifrish arba b'chorot la'arba imahot. So Yaakov set aside four firstborn for the four mothers, and he said, the firstborn, they're not part of the cheshbon. The firstborn, we know, the bechor, he's supposed to serve Hashem, he's not part of the tithe. And what did he do? Nishtaru shmona. So he's left with eight children. 12 minus 4 equals 8. 8 boys. Hitchil mishimon, so he had taken off Reuven, right? He had taken off his firstborn from Leah, so he starts from Shimon. He counts up Shimon, Levi, Yehuda. He counts going up 10, and then he reaches 8, and starts from scratch again. So he starts again from Shimon, and then number 10 is going to be Levi. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Till then, you start again. 9, 10 ends up with Levi. So that's why Levi was the chosen one. He started from Shimon, went up to Binyamin, who was still in his mother's stomach. Rachel hadn't given birth yet. And then he started again, and he ended up with Levi. So Levi was that tithe. He was set aside to be holy for Hashem. Like the Pasuk says, the tenth will be holy for Hashem. Now, this is a very important concept. that the tribe of Levi was set aside already from the time of Yaakov Avinu. Why is this important? What does the pasuk say in the end of Parshas Bo? Kol habechor asher yivaled bivkachav tzoncha zachar takriv l'Hashem elokecha. Lo tavod bivchor shorecha ve'lo tagoz bechor tzonecha. Lifnei Hashem elokecha tocholenu. Yeah, pasuk says we take the firstborn, and that's before Hashem. Kadesh lichol bechor. The firstborn of man has to be holy. What was the mitzvah of the Bechor before the Chet HaEgel? The way we understand that the Bechoros were supposed to be Kohanim. So if all the Bechoros were Kohanim, were we not supposed to redeem our firstborn? When the Torah tells us in Parshas Bo that the firstborn are holy, the original intent is that they're holy and they're not redeemed? It changed with the Chet HaEgel? The pasuk says, V'havarta kol peter rechem l'Hashem. The first one who breaches the womb, he is for Hashem. What does that mean? So, the fact that we see here that Levi was already a special tribe gives us an indication that it wasn't only the Kohanim. Shevet Levi had a special right in the service of Hashem together with the Kohanim, together with the firstborns. There should have been this duality. We also see that from the Medrash that says that Moshe Rabbeinu was supposed to be Kohen Gadol, and his offsprings were supposed to be Kohanim. He lost that. What does that mean? And then how would it have worked? So the tribe of Levi was unique, and we see they retained a certain uniqueness, in that the Levim still had a special task in the Beit HaMikdash. Rabbi Yishmael Omer. Rabbi Yishmael says, before we continue, I chose one explanation in the previous Medrash, what we've read until now. What we've read until now, there are many commentaries, and they all have a hard time understanding what's said. Because this Medrash, like all of you pointed out, is very different than the Midrashim we're accustomed to in understanding the whole story of Yaakov and the angel. Not all of the Perushim explain exactly the way I explained it. I had to choose one, or to make a mishmash of them, but this is the gist that I think made the most sense in the words of the Medrash. Meaning other Perushim tried to say, well, maybe you should word this way, word it that way. I chose the Perushim that I thought fit best to the text that we had. Rabbi Yishmael Omer, Kol ha-bechorot k'shehen b'shmirat ha-ayin chayavin li'itaser ma'aser. All the firstborn, when they're watched by the eye, you have to take off ma'aser. V'lo yisar Yaakov ela lemefreh. And Yaakov, how did he come up with Levi? He came up with Levi by counting backwards. It's not that he counted like he said, and he counted going around and around again. But rather, he counted going backwards. He started with Binyamin, he counted backwards 10, and the 10th came out to be Levi. So Levi came out to be the Holy One for Hashem. But Levi, the pasuk says, the 10th will be holy for Hashem. ועליו הכתוב אומר, הסירי יהיה קודש להשם. Sorry. ירד מיכאל המלאך ונטל את לוי ואלהו לפני הקדוש ברוך הוא. The angel Michael came down, took Levi and brought him up before Hashem. אמר לפניו, ריבונו של עולם זה גורלך וחלק מעשרך. The angel Michael said before Hashem, Hashem, this is your lot. This is the one that's chosen to be before you. And he extended his right hand and he blessed him. We say, Barech Hashem Chilo. Hashem blessed his strength. What is his strength? That was blessed. That's this blessing. The blessing to Levi was that the Levi's family would have servants before Hashem like the angels in heaven. And we discussed that the word Kohen has a few meanings. Kohen could mean Sar. Kohen could also mean Misharet. The different Rishonim explain what does the word Kohen mean. Am Yisrael is told in our parasha they're going to be Mamleches Kohanim, a kingdom of Kohanim. What are Kohanim? So Kohen According to some, Rashi says is sarim, important people. And other Rishonim say no, Kohen means a servant. So we, here on earth, Levi's tribe was given the blessing, they're going to be servants before Hashem, like the Malachim in Shemaim. And we find in Midrashim, there are different areas where Chazal equate the way the Kohanim would work swiftly and the way the Malachim would work swiftly. Amar Michael lifnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so the angel Michael said before Hashem, Ribon kol olamim, master of all the worlds. Hamshaltim lamelech eino noten lehem teref umzonam. Those who serve the king, doesn't he take care of them? Doesn't he give them their food? Lefichach natan lehem livnei levi kol kodesh ala lishmo. That's why anytime it says something is holy for Hashem, it means that it's given to the Levim. Shenemar, like the pasuk says, Yishe Hashem en achlato yochilun. Notice that the Medrash over here, when it says Levi, it means the Levim and some of the things the Kohanim get. It's all encompassing. We're continuing in the Medrash Pirkei Rabbi Eliezer. We're holding towards the end of the 37th chapter. And we had learned that the reason we don't eat the Gid Anoshe is because the angel, in protecting himself, when Yaakov tried to beat him up, even though the angel was sent to save Yaakov, Yaakov tried to beat him up, so the angel had to grab Yaakov by his thigh and he wounded the Gid Anoshe, which is the sinew that controls the function of the thigh. And then Yaakov wanted to cross over Maver Yabok to wait it out there. And the angel said, no, you have to take off your tithe. And then Yaakov took off the tithe of his firstborn as well. And that we saw two different opinions how we end up with Levi being the tithe, the asirit, the tenth. And we saw Michael took Levi, brought him up before Hashem. And he said, this is your chosen one. And then he said to Hashem, king takes care of his servants. So Hashem gave Levi and the Kohanim the portions that the Torah dedicates to Hashem. When Yaakov crossed over to enter the land of Canaan, we have more copies over here, guys. Copy. When Yaakov crossed in, we're up to the 37th chapter. When Yaakov crossed in to enter the land of Canaan, Esav came towards him from mountain of Seir with anger, with rage. He wanted to kill him. Shenemaz, the pasuk says, the wicked one, he plots how to take down the righteous, and he grits his teeth over him. Esav said, I don't want to kill my brother Yaakov with a bow and arrow. I'm going to kill him with my mouth and suck out his blood, the first vampire. Shnemaz, the pasuk says, Vayaretz Esav likrato v'aicha bekehu. Esav ran towards him. He hugged him. Vayipol al tzavrav, he fell on his neck. Vayishakehu, he bit him. Vayivku, and they wept. Al tikore vayishakehu, ela vayishakehu. Don't read it that he kissed him, but rather he bit him. V'nasa tzavrosh Yaakov ketzem ashen. And Yaakov's neck became like solid marble. And about him, the pasuk says, "Tzavarech kemigdal Hashem." Your neck is like a tower of marble. V'kahu shinav shel Esav. And Esav's teeth. Oh boy, does that hurt to take a huge bite into marble, into stone? Okay. I don't understand. I don't understand in Kabbalah, but. For one who doesn't understand, let's expand a little bit. Chazal tell us that there is a covenant that Hashem made with the Jewish people. There is the covenant of the Bris. Bris Kosh, we have a moel here. Summer Ginsburg, guys, advertisement here. We have a moel. We have the Bris that we do with a moel. We have the Bris of a... that we circumcise a child when he's 8 days old. And that's in between the 10 fingers, 5 fingers on each feet. In between those we have the bris that we call the bris. And then Hashem made another bris with us. What's that bris? Hashem made a bris with the Jewish people. The bris in our parsha. Hashem says, what's the bris? Ushmartem et beriti. You will keep my covenant. I'm going to give you v'item li. Mamlechet Kohanim v'goy kadosh, the holy nation who keeps the Torah, the bris of the mouth, between the 10 fingers of our hands. We have 5 fingers on each hand, and in between we have the mouth. Now, Kabbalistically, and we've discussed in the past the dangers of doing mitzitza b'peh, and each one has to ask his rabbi whether it's right. And we mentioned that the briskerov wouldn't be a sandik if they did mitzitza b'peh, and everyone knows that he would not. If they did mitzitza b'peh, he would not be a sandik. And this was back then already, this wasn't today. So each one has to ask his rabbi what's right and what's wrong, and we don't enter politics. But there is a Kabbalistic concept when we do the bris kodesh, and we put them out, that also has a bris kodesh by the bris milah, and we do mitzitza. There is a concept of the unification of the two britot. What is Esav trying to do? Where does he bite Yaakov? He uses his mouth to bite Yaakov at the source of Akol Kol Yaakov. He says, I'm not going to shoot him with a bow and arrow. I'm going to kill Yaakov how? I'm going to bite him on the neck. What's the source of Yaakov's strength? Yaakov's strength is with his voice, with his learning Torah, with his tefillah. So that's where Esav tries to kill him. And of course, Hashem protects him. He doesn't succeed. And once Esav saw he didn't get what he desired, he got angry, and gritting his teeth. The pasuk says, the wicked sees, he gets angry, he grits his teeth, he melts away. Yaakov took the tithe of his wealth that he brought from Padan Aram. He sent in the hands of his servants. He gave Esav. He said to them, tell him, this is what your servant Yaakov said. Yaakov calls himself Avdecha Yaakov, your servant Yaakov. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, God said to him, Yaakov, asit et hakodesh chol. I made you holy. You desecrated yourself. Amar lepanav, Yaakov said, Ribon kol olamim, ani machnif l'rasha b'shvi shelo yargeni. God, you know, I'm using a little bit of sycophancy. I'm sweet-talking him, so he shouldn't kill me. Mikan amru chachamim, from here our sages taught, machnifim tarshim ba'olam hazeh mipnei darchei shalom. We do speak to them sweetly. We sweet-talk them for the sake of peace. Not because we really hold them a value, but we maintain the peace. Amar lo Esav, say Esav told Yaakov, Achi, yesh li rav. I have a lot. Uvishvi shechalak kavod Yaakov le Esav, lefi chachalku bnei Yaakov kavod livnei Esav bilshon rav. That's why his offsprings ultimately had to honor Esav also with the word rav. The Jewish people wanted to enter Eretz Yisrael, and God says you can't go through them. They asked Esav's offsprings, let us through. We're not interested in fighting you. We got to continue the land of Israel. And he says, no way. Ben bacher v'tzel katech. I'm going to come out and sword. You don't come through my land. And Hashem says, okay, so travel all around Mount Seir until you get there. They had a long journey, and we suffered in that journey. Shneimar, then Hashem said, Rav lachem sovet ha'ar hazeh. So you've traveled around this mountain enough. Now go north. You'll come to the land of Israel. Rav, yeah. Amar lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu, lo deicha shesit et atzmecha kodesh. Chol, God says to Yaakov, it's not enough that you took yourself, who's holy, you've made yourself. Chol, ela shamart av Rav Yavod Tzair, shamarti, I said, God says, v'Rav Yavod Tzair, the older one will serve the younger one. V'ata amarta, and you switched it around. You made yourself servant to him. You said, avdecha Yaakov, chayecha kidvacha yeh, I swear by your life, it'll be as you said. Hu yimshol alecha ba'olam hazeh. He will rule over you in this world. V'ata tiyeh moshel alav ba'olam haba. And you'll only take over in the world to come. U'lefichach amar lo Yaakov. And that's why Yaakov, he recognized this point, and he said to Esav, Yavonav adoni lifnei avdo v'ani itna'ala le'iti. Let my master go before me, and I'll go at my own pace. I'll still catch up to you. I'll get there. Yaakov, man, you have this world. You're going to run this show here. But ultimately, I'll catch up. Mikan atalamed she'em ne'esav nofelim ad she'avo sarid mi'akov. From here, you can learn that Esav's offsprings won't fall till some remnant of Yaakov comes, v'katzitz regleim shud ne'esav me'asir. And he'll cut off their feet from the mountain of Seir. Shne'maz, the pasuk says, v'yeud mi'akov ve'evitzer me'ir uchtiv. And the pasuk says, v'lo yesarid levet Esav ki Hashem diber. Ultimately, the remnant of Esav, of the house of Esav, won't be, for the house of God has spoken. And ultimately, that's where the Midrash concludes the story, that Yaakov lost this world, Esav is given the power in this world, and ultimately Yaakov will get there. What do we see in this chapter? We began the chapter with Yaakov, who had to contend with Lavan, who's like the lion, went to contend with Esav, who's like the bear. He has no mercy, and he was ready to kill men, women, and children. And there were there was no respect for God. And we discussed the concept that one has to fear those who have no respect for God more than the rulers and the policemen, etc. God sends an angel to help him out, and Yaakov fights with that angel. At the end of the fight, Yaakov discovers the angel came to help him. The angel's name was Yisrael, and we discussed the blessing, and then why the angel had to wound him in the Gidna Nashe. Yaakov wanted to wait it out, and the angel said, no, you pay your tithe, you go contend with Esav. And we discussed why Yaakov had to give him all that sheep, because he detained his miser. We discussed how Yaakov ended up with Levi being the miser of the children, either because he counted 8 twice, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 from Shimon, he took off the 4 Bechoros from the 4 mothers, or because he counted backwards from Binyamin. And then Michal took Levi up before Hashem, and Hashem blessed him. And then Michal demanded that Levi gets some sustenance from Hashem, if he's Hashem's representative him here, and that's what Levi got. Esav meets up with Yaakov. He wants to kill him with his mouth. Hashem makes Yaakov's neck strong like marble. Esav hurts his teeth. Yaakov speaks to him with respect, and Hashem says, what do you respect him for? Why are you putting yourself down? Because you put yourself down, you'll be down in this world, and you'll only get back up in the world to come.